This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and you're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel and I'm going to be chatting to you about five things that are really important to me and that I've learned in my life can really be beneficial in enabling us to live optimally. By the way, Craig, thank you for pointing out the ad break there. I was so excited to bring you this topic that I just started going straight into it and forgot we were going to ads. And also, later in the show, at about 22, we're going to be chatting with Professor Sass Cooper, clinical psychologist or in clinical psychology and past president of the Psychological Association of Society of South Africa. Wow, I really do think I need some more coffee this morning. So maybe that's something to touch on. For those of you who don't know a little bit about my background or a lot about my background, I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober for 19 years. I spent 15 years in the depths of my drinking in financial services, selling insurance, and really struggling to survive, waking up every morning like death, feeling absolutely terrible, really struggling to get to work, to get the work done. And when I sobered up, I opened up the gym and started with Emmett, and we started working with corporates. And that's always been a dream for me. And seeing that the changes and the things that I learned to do in terms of enabling myself to work relatively long hours, to work at high intensity, but still to be healthy and to be optimal. And I asked Sina, can I share these points with you guys today? Because these are one of the workshops that we actually run for our corporate clients with great success. They really do love them. And we're going to touch on the five pillars. So let's run through what those five pillars are. We're going to go into them a little bit in depth. And we're then going to chat to the professor about them. If you have any questions, let me know on our studio WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. First and foremost, the single most important thing that we can do, interestingly enough, by the way, all of these relate very strongly to weight loss and longevity. So that's a really double bonus tie-in for doing them, not only for feeling your best as you move through the day. Number one is sleep. Absolutely the single most important thing that we can do. Number two is hormone regulation or stress management. Those two are the same. Number three is hydration. And that, people, is water, not coffee, not cool drinks, good, clean, pure water. Number four is nutrition, and number five is exercise. Now, what's quite interesting here is many of those of you who do know me know I run a gym, and we make our living, our parnosa, from exercise. So putting that at the bottom of the list really shows how important these other elements in our lives are and so important to focus on. So let's just touch on sleep, because probably the hardest thing for us to manage and the hardest thing for us to regulate and potentially take seriously, whether it's because we're parents, we're new parents, we're running a job, we're running a business, we're just unable to sleep at night, we're stressed. All of these things affect the quality of sleep. What I'm going to run through is why sleep is important, and then a couple of things that we can do around sleep that are really going to benefit us. And what I love about the show and the guests that Sina has got for us over the time that I've been doing the show is we've touched on each of these in one form or another, or quite in depth. So sleep, and I love this quote, if sleep is broken, everything else collapses. Sleep is not rest. It's active recovery and repair. And I think we really need to focus on that. Sleep is active. It's not passive. It's not just lying there closing our eyes and then, you know, we fall asleep and we wake up. There's nothing happening. There's nothing involved. Sleep is active recovery and repair. During sleep, our body regulates our hormones, such as cortisol, such as insulin, such as growth hormone. Absolutely, absolutely vital hormones particularly, you know, we have a lot of young guys coming into the gym wanting to get as big as possible and as big and as muscular as possible, and they're willing to do anything, particularly high school students. They're willing to train hard, they're willing to eat right, they're willing to do all of this stuff. And when I tell them you got to go to bed early and you got to sleep early and you got to make sure that you're getting in as much quality sleep as possible, that's when their faces drop, because that's really a hard thing to do. So we need to regulate our hormones. If you want to gain muscle, you want to get into physical shape that you want to be in, you got to have that growth hormone, you got to have that insulin, and you got to manage your cortisol. I know for myself that when we're traveling, when we're working, particularly with international events, that my sleep is disrupted. I slowly start to gain weight, and after a 3 or 4 month period on the road, I can be up 5 or 6 kilos. And that's because of lack of sleep. You can actually sleep yourself leaner. Such an incredible thing. Then we're going to go now and touch. All right, we're going to go to ads. And coming back after ads, I'm going to touch on a couple of things that we can do to optimize our sleep. And then we're going to move on to the next point.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I've hijacked the front of the show just to chat to you about some points that I think are really important in terms of being optimal, living long, being in our best physical shape. Something, it's been a stressful start to the year. Last year and the last few years have been incredibly stressful. And when we give our bodies what it needs, the support it needs to be as optimal as possible, then we can manage and deal with the stress that we have to. We were chatting about sleep. If you have any questions, let us know on the studio WhatsApp number 0618951019. I'm not a doctor, but I've been coaching athletes for over 2 decades, and this is the information that I've learned and that I've seen be really beneficial, not only elite athletes, but, you know, normal people running day-to-day lives that have really, really helped them. Going back to sleep. So sleep helps us regulate our hormones. Very importantly, and something that we're not really aware of, it helps us consolidate our memories and our learning at night, and it also helps us process emotional stress. It's an amazing thing how much is going on inside of the body. We're unpacking the day, we're learning from the day, we're rebuilding and repairing the damage from the day before, and we're getting ready for the next day. We have poor sleep, you guys know, we increase our anxiety, our irritability, it can worsen cravings. We're not sleeping, we get cravings, particularly for those high energy foods. So the sugars, the refined carbs, stuff that our brain knows. For me, it's muffins. If I'm hungry and I'm tired and I'm run down, I want carbs. And that may not always be in alignment with our goals. It can also reduce our pain tolerance and our injury resilience as well. So a couple of things to run through in terms of improving our sleep. There's a rule that I like to follow. It's called 3-2-1. 3 hours before sleep. And I know this sounds crazy, but if you can do it, it will really benefit you. 3 hours before going to bed, you need to make sure that you stop eating, if you can. And I know it's not always part of our lifestyle. Digestion takes a huge amount of energy. If we're going to sleep on a full stomach, we feel bloated, lying on our backs. We're not allowing gravity to help us with digestion. We can be really, really uncomfortable, and it can be unpleasant, and it's going to limit the quality of our sleep. 3 hours before you go to bed, if you can finish your last meal, that's ideal. And if you can then build your eating around the whole day, around that 3 hours, and making sure that that's when you finish, it'll be much better for your quality of sleep. Number two, probably the toughest one, no screens before bed. 2 hours, no blue light, no screens. So much is going on in our brain, seeing faces we don't recognize. It actually makes us more alert. It's a defense mechanism that we look at, and we see these faces we perhaps don't recognize on TV and so on. If we can go back to reading a book, that's ideal. And an hour before we go to sleep, if we can start to focus on relaxing, winding down, and really prioritizing, if possible, that last hour. If you can't manage all of this, break it down into some portions that you can. Also, what I've seen particularly with athletes, time before 12 o'clock is worth double the time afterwards. If you go to sleep at 10 o'clock, those 2 hours before 12 can be worth double the value to your body after 12 o'clock. This is what I've seen in working with athletes, speaking to top level coaches. So the earlier you can get to sleep, the better. And then if you have to get stuff done, rather wake up early. My day ideally is 7 p.m. if I can sometimes. And then I'm up at 4 o'clock every morning. And you can hear the energy in the voice. So today was a 4 a.m. start. Already been rocking and rolling for 5.5 hours. It works. And we have to prioritize our sleep. The next point I wanted to touch on is stress management. But first I want to go to point number 3, hydration. Because I think out of everything here, our hydration, our water intake is the one thing that we can manage easily, and it has a profound difference. To get rid of toxins, the body needs water. Because how do we get rid of stuff from our body? We pass it out when we pee, when we poop, and when we sweat. All three of those processes require water. If we're not getting in enough water, then we are not going to get in the quality of fluid into the system to enable us to flush out these toxins. These toxins can build up, cause inflammation, cause us to fatigue, to bloat, to retain fluid even, and it's really, really not good for the body. The other thing as well with hydration, our brain, you know, I think it's 80% water. And we need to have the fluid in the brain, in the system. Otherwise, we can really start to have headaches. We lose focus. We lose concentration. We lose energy. And just by the way, when we are dehydrated, usually for people, that starts out with them feeling hungry. I know it definitely does for me. So we're chatting on 5 points that I've learned in my life as a coach, as an athlete as well, that have helped me be optimal. We're running through those. If you have any questions, hit us up on the WhatsApp number 0618951019. My name is Nicholas Ingle. You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 High FM. What we can do for water, I found very beneficial. First thing in the morning, 500 mils at least, straight in. Have a bottle next to your bed. When you wake up, before your feet hit the ground, get in that water. If you are getting 6 to 8 hours sleep, you basically haven't been drinking for 6 to 8 hours. And I know most people avoid fluids at night before they go to sleep because they don't want to be waking up in the middle of the night having to run to the bathroom. So just make sure that you can get in that fluid and make sure that you are giving your body the best chance to start in the day. Really helps us pass stool as well. You know, keeps us regular. All of these processes require fluid. So if there's one thing that you can do, make sure that you're upping your water intake and looking after it. Most people that I've spoken to over the years and encountered, no one is drinking nearly as much water as they should be. All right, going back to stress management. Stress management, really, really, really hormone regulation. We have regulatory hormones in our bodies, leptin. We have cortisol, we have insulin. When we are stressed, when we're under pressure, you all heard cortisol is the stress hormone. That increases, that can affect our other hormones and our hormone regulation. Keeping cortisol elevated when we're stressed is a big problem. It suppresses immune function. It disrupts sleep. It disrupts digestion. It can affect our mood. These are the problems because stress is really not only emotional. You know, it's everything that we encounter, whether it's work pressure, financial stress, relationship tensions, lack of control over our lives, lack of predictability. What have we seen in the last few years? So much unpredictability. We're feeling powerless. We feel that we've lost control. When we're feeling powerless and lost control, that can really lead to anger and frustration. You know, when we're angry, it's because we don't feel that we can have an effect and a control on our lives. And all of these things that we're feeling deep in the background, really, really deep in the background of our lives, slowly build up and they affect and erode our quality of life and as well as our health. You know, there was a great book by Dr. William Davis called Wheat Belly, and he talks about men having that belly, the beer gut, that belly, and that being being produced and producing cortisol. That was a big indicator of the stress and the stress hormone as well. That ties back to sleeping. You know, if we're getting enough sleep, if we're getting hydrated, we're getting our body the chance to deal with stress, to get rid of the toxins that are building up because of our stressful lives. And it's hugely important for people to make sure that they are looking to live a life where they understand stress is real. It's not weakness in the system. It's not weakness mentally. It's something that we have to admit, take care of, and manage. Because if we don't manage our stress is going to manage us. And physically and hormonally, it's going to affect our body and our long-term health. Jumping on to point number four, if you do have any questions, let us have them on the WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. Just sharing with you guys what I've learned in the last two decades or so of coaching and being involved in sports, martial arts, building businesses, and dealing with day-to-day stress and life, and most importantly, getting sober and moving into a life in recovery. Number four, nutrition. Now, this is something that is absolutely vital, because not only, you know, probably the most important thing in the Jewish community is food, and it's how we connect and it's how we value spending time together. There's many, many things that I've read about food and how it affects our mental and physical health and emotional health. But what I loved, the one quote is, food is not punishment for, exercise, is not punishment for what you ate. We shouldn't be punishing ourselves for what we eat. We need to understand why we eat what we eat. And one of the most beneficial things that I found for myself and with people that we've worked with is mindful eating. Probably the first week or so in recovery, I was at a rehab center, and one of the counselors said to me, Nick, you have to understand that how you eat your meals is the biggest indicator of whether you're going to potentially relapse or not. Now, if you think about that, relapse can absolutely destroy your life. It destroys the life of those around you, those who love us. And the thing is, we really, really have to make sure that we're focusing on early warning signs in terms of our mental health and well-being. And how we eat our food happens to be one of the biggest ones of that. And I was amazed, and I asked her, so what do you mean? So she said to me that if we're sitting at a table and we take time to eat and we respect the meal, we respect ourselves, that we have, you know, a plate, knives and forks, maybe even a placemat, a glass of water. We really take time to prep a meal nicely, to sit and to enjoy it. No scrolling, no time on the phone, maybe some background music if we can, but just that 10, 15, 20 minutes for ourselves, that's a big indicator of self-love and self-worth. And that's the thing with food. It shows us really how we really feel about ourselves. So it's not about calories. It's not about quantity. It's not about quality even. It's about how we're feeling about ourselves and using food to tell us that. So what the counselor meant was, if I'm sitting down and eating a meal, and usually if I'm going to sit down and eat a meal, it's going to be a cooked meal, a prepared meal, something that's good for me in the long run. If it's not a great quality meal for me, then I may end up standing up and eating it on the run. How often do we eat something in the car on the way to work? How often do we make sure, you know, just stand around and nosh on something, and we turn around and realize, holy cow, I've just finished eating that. I don't even remember eating it. So take what you eat and make sure that you set an environment for you where you can be connected to the food, you can be present with the food. I'm a huge believer that eating a fantastic piece of chocolate cake at a coffee shop with a dear friend where you're spending an hour with them connecting is going to be far less damaging to your body in the long run, because stress is a huge contributor to weight gain. And if we're de-stressing by connecting with friends and family while we're eating, absolutely, absolutely valuable. All of the things around this tie into the fact that we need to eat like adults. Best piece of advice I ever read. Would you feed what you're eating to a baby? Would you feed it to your toddler? Would you feed it to your child? If the answer is no, then don't eat it. Look at food as a way to respect yourself. Look at food as a way to value yourself. And look at food as a yardstick to make sure that you are feeling about yourself the way you should be feeling about yourself in order to build a very, very good quality life and something that you can value each day, be proud of each day, and that brings you the most back each and every day. Food is the most wonderful thing. A Shabbos meal, you know, what do they say? More so than Jews have kept the Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jews. And something I love deeply about our South African Jewish community, people may not consider themselves religious or frum or shomre, but they value the Friday night meal and having guests over and going over to people. And it's the most wonderful time to connect. And if you're sitting at that table focusing on calories and not connections, then you need to understand how you're valuing yourself and treating yourself. There's no single meal that can be as damaging as a meal around guilt and shame and self-loathing versus a meal around connection and love and just self-worth. And I think we all really know what to eat, right? You know, proteins, fruits, you know, all of these wonderful things that put a smile on our face. You know, growing up in Cape Town, getting grape season started, a fresh brunch of ice cold drewe, you know, just those sweet little bundles of joy, like the happiest things ever. I don't think I got as much joy from chocolate if it wasn't a certain Swiss brand. But, you know, these are the things we shouldn't punish ourselves so much around what we eat. And if we are punishing ourselves around what we eat, we need to examine our relationship with ourselves, how we're thinking about ourselves. Because when you value something and when you love something, you look after it. If you love a Ferrari that you worked your life to buy, you're going to put in the best oil, the best food, and the best fuel and the best filters. It's not about putting in cheap stuff and trying to get out the best. So if you love cake, if you love chocolate, wait about a time, go and get hold of a friend and go for a great piece of cake. And, you know, that connection and de-stressing is far more valuable than anything that's going to be happening in the calories. Okay, last but not least, we are going to chat about exercise. This is pretty much what we do. We run a gym. We make people bounce around and sweat all day, lift and throw heavy things. It's an absolute blast. Exercise is about movement, but it's not only about going to a gym, loathing it, not loving what you're doing. You need to understand that how you feel about what you're going to do. Now, I'm not talking about being afraid of a challenging exercise you know you're going to do. If you're afraid of it, but you still want to do it and you love it because of how it makes you feel and how it makes you feel about yourself, that's the value. The value of exercise physiologically, it regulates our mood. You know, it's the building block for our body. It's the building block for our confidence. It helps us process stress. Strength training, it's vital. It teaches delayed gratification. We work with so many kids in high school, teaching them delayed gratification through strength training. It's life-changing for them. They're knowing that if you want something, you've got to work for it, and it could take months, even years. It builds trust within yourself that you know now that you're capable of doing more than you believed you could do down today. So if I want to lift 100 kilos in the bench press and I can only lift 40, it might take me 3 years, but I'm working towards it. But in that journey, in that working towards what you're doing, it's absolutely, absolutely vital for building that self-worth and that self-trust. So, and the wonderful thing about exercise as well, it's a great way to connect with people. If you don't want to go to the gym, if you can get a friend and go for a walk a couple of times a week out in the fresh air, probably the best exercise that we can do really is walking, is that movement, keeping those glutes and those quads fired up and active, taking the stairs, carrying our groceries up the stairs and not into the lift with a trolley. These are the things that we really, really have to do. So before we go to our guests, we're going to go, we're going to go to ad break. I'm going to run through some quick questions from our guests, listeners, gee whiz, sorry guys, and we'll get on with it. Right, let's go to ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you for joining us today here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show on 101.9 Chai FM. I am Nicholas Ingle, your host, and we're chatting the five pillars, the five things that we can do to enhance our health, our longevity, our well-being, and even our getting into a physical shape that we want to be in. Just before we go to our guest, just want to go to a comment from a listener. Honey is the only food that doesn't spoil. Honey's absolutely amazing. And if you can find honey that's regional to where you are, if you suffer from sinuses like I do, honey from locally sourced, absolutely incredibly, incredibly valuable, because it really helps us process and deal with those allergies to plants, to trees, to everything that's going on around. I know that when the season's changing, because my nose likes to tell me that. So one of the things that we've touched on is exercise. And I like to use exercise as a way to tie in everything. We spoke about food and how you eat, whether you're sitting down or whether you're standing. But exercise, if your exercise that you're doing is getting easier on a regular basis, then you know that everything else that you're doing in terms of hydration, your water intake, your stress management, your sleep, and so on, is absolutely, absolutely fantastic. And that's how you are balancing. All right. So first off, very quickly, we have our guest. And all right, we have with us, where are we? Professor Seth Cooper. Prof, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And probably out of all of the shows that I've done, I'm really connected to this one, because this is what I've learned in sort of my work as a coach, running our gym, and also, you know, trying to live my best life in being sober. Looking at the five pillars, the five things that we can do practically, probably, and like, they're not easy, but they're simple. Stress management. So start off with sleep, stress management, hydration, nutrition, and exercise. We just love your thoughts on those. How do they affect us mentally? And because, you know, our minds are what connects us to reality, and if we're not balancing what's going on in our heads, we're not going to be getting the most out of our lives.
I agree fully, and I think that your approach is practical. We should always remember that the human being comprises the physical body, and that includes the mind. So a healthy mind is part of being well and being healthy. Conversely, a healthy body contributes to your overall well-being and sense of mental peace. Now, these two should not be separated, because the one feeds into the other. And the elements that you've raised, nutrition, hydration, exercise, and stress relief, all play a role. Why is this important? Because if you don't hydrate, you will die. Everyone needs to hydrate, everyone, and there are different indices for that, but I think the general rule of thumb is at least 2 liters per day, and healthily target 3 liters. Now, many of us will do this, particularly now when the temperatures are soaring and we can feel in the early afternoon a dull headache or something like that. So that is very important for us. Now, conversely, and for those who do a lot of running and prepare for long runs or marathons, they can be underhydration or sometimes overhydration. Now, the problem with overhydration is that it leads to other serious physical impacts, as will underhydration for those athletes. Now, the majority of us are not athletes. We abide by what we can do, what we can manage in our daily lives. So exercise, at least in moderation, and according to what your body can take, because I go to a gym fairly regularly and I hear the complaints that particularly younger people raise. After a few days, they say they sprain this, they have to go and see a physiotherapist, or worse, have to go in for a procedure because they actually are not responding to their body needs. And each of us should be in tune with our bodies. Our bodies are remarkable organisms because they tell us the limits, and you can feel that creak, you can feel that pain point. And if you are able to manage it, well and good. But if you push it, there's something that's going to come unstuck. And therefore, it is very unlikely that most of us listen to our bodies when we should. We tend to listen to peer influence. So somebody else will say, Nicholas, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you may be the same age group, but your makeup is completely different. You can be in the same family with siblings, and the one size fits all doesn't happen. It rarely happens unless you're a mono, you're a same, you're a twin, identical twin, and you have the same makeup. But other than that, all of us are basic human beings and we have different needs and different makeups. So that is important to consider. The same with nutrition. Now, certain things will work for the individual. There's enough research, very old research from the last century, telling us that even medication that works for some people will not work for others. It's faith in the healer that plays a large role in it. So if your coach is somebody you believe in, the likelihood of improving from what that coach suggests is very high. On the contrary, most of us have access to online media, and we're likely to go online and check up. What does Mr. X and Ms. Y, these are major influencers, they've got bodies to die for, what did they say? You don't know what they're suffering to get those bodies, and you don't know what they put into them, but they'll be doing these things to get their numbers, to boost their following. What will
Prof, sorry to jump in here, Prof. We're just going to go to ad breaks, and then that's such a valid point that you hit on. We don't know what those athletes are putting into their bodies as well. But when we go back to ad breaks, I'd just love to continue. And then just before we wrap up the show, I'd like to get your thoughts on just, and it's quite a big question for such a short time, that how careful do we need to be that we're using this as self-love and not self-punishment? So we'll touch on that, Prof, as soon as we're back from these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. Just as we start to wrap up the show, we're going back to our guest, Professor Sath Cooper. Prof, sorry that we're actually having you on for such a short period of time. We'd love the opportunity to chat with you again. Just your thoughts, Prof, in terms of the balance between starting something new in terms of exercise, nutrition, hydration, sleep, and not using it as a way to punish ourselves. Just as we wrap up, I'd love your thoughts on that.
Look, this is a competition that you have with yourself. It cannot be something you're doing to compete with somebody else. Unless you're an athlete and competition is part of the terrain, you're doing this for the Sustainable Development Goal 3 of the United Nations of good health and well-being. Now, without good health, the human being is going to suffer and experience all sorts of complications. You're not going to be able to take in education as a child. And we know the statistics where 30 children die from hunger. We call it malnutrition every day in this country. So you need a healthy mind, a healthy body. And to move to the next level of education, you need to be able to have that nutrition. Now, unfortunately, not all of us have access to good nutrition. For the majority of your listeners, Nicholas, the prescripts of the religion already impose certain good things, that you should eat kosher. And there's enough scientific reasons why that's important, and I won't go into that. But there's also things like the bottom feeders. They prohibit it generally. But a lot of people love to eat crabs and crayfish and prawns, shrimp, etc., etc. Now, all those things, the bottom feeders, add to your cholesterol levels and fattiness in your body. All of those things are looked down upon. So if we follow those basic tenets, we'll leave out certain things from the diet. We'll include that which works for us. Sometimes, and we don't recognize this, many of us are lactose intolerant. So if you do a shake, it's important to check whether that is something that you retain, get benefit from, or it just goes through you and you have diarrhea or worse, constipation. So it's each of those kinds of things that will work for you but will not work for me. So it's always good to know your body, get good advice based on your body type, based on your habits and what you can manage. And you should be having fun with it. It's not something where you're punishing yourself to such an extent that you suffer consequences. And we all know that there are people who were shocked by that person died very suddenly from a heart attack or something else. And we all say, but you know, he was so fit. He was doing this and doing that and so on. And we don't realize that being fit is one part of the whole conundrum. It is the other things that you've mentioned, eating well, eating decently, ensuring that you're not overloading yourself with certain kinds of food so that you habituate to them and crave them. Or if you leave them out, you then also crave them. It's all in balance. Moderation is the essence here. And you'll know what works for you. You'll see the after effects, or you will hear or smell the after effects. And therefore, you'll need to regulate your body accordingly. Because certain things are good for you, they'll work for you, but they're not good for me, and they won't work for me. You need to experiment to the limits that you can to find that equilibrium so that you're able to function optimally. The next part is stress, and stress is a major killer.
Unfortunately, we have run out of time. I would love the opportunity to chat with you again further. But I just think as we wrap up, such great advice. You are different to me. I'm different to you. We need to understand what works for us individually. And also, it's the balance and the moderation. It's not excess. Professor Sass Cooper, clinical psychology and past president of the Psychological Society of South Africa. Thank you for joining us, and to our listeners, thank you for joining us today on 101.9 Chai FM for the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I will chat with you next week.